wait for the train to go by. For some reason, Thursday afternoon, or what is today? Today's Saturday afternoons is train time.
Train day. Da, 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 da,
da, da. This is like the third one or fourth one that's gone by.
Wonder what they're shipping.
Into the distance. Everything. We're right by a train line, which kind of sucks. The first night we stayed in our new house, the train came through at like 10 o'clock at night. And we had the windows open and stuff like that. And my husband and I both woke up like, "What? What is happening?" Because it was just like this freight train was suddenly going by. We're like, "The fuck?" So that was, now we don't even hear it. But yeah, unless we're recording a podcast, in which case. You see my mic shaking?
Yes.
And it's like a ways away.
Yeah, my parents lived near a train.
I mean, I'm hiding in my closet, surrounded in clothes and foam and shit, and it's still coming through. Seriously annoying.
I know.
All right, screw it. It's good enough. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Writing Easy, the podcast where we take the onerous task of writing and try to make it a little bit easier. I am one of your hosts, Mary Mascari.
And I'm your other host, Melissa Long. You like my voice?
Yeah, it's very sultry.
It's going to be like this the whole time.
Nice. Well, I'll fix it in post. You'll sound great. You'll sound a little bit like Siri. I hope that's all right.
Yeah.
I'll just type your words into a thing and it'll sound great. Don't worry about it. So today, we are going to talk about something that is very near and dear to my heart, something I have very strong opinions about. And it is about critiquing. And I chose this week's quote to be in line with how I think. See if you can figure out how I feel about critiquing based on this quote. It is from Kristen Wiig. Is it Wiig or Wig?
I think it's Wig.
It's Wiig.
I thought it was Wig.
Wig.
I don't know.
Kristen Wiig. Who's fantastic, brilliant, funny, wonderful. And her quote, what she had to say was this: if you're creating anything at all, it's really dangerous to care about what people think. And I love that, especially being my personality is something who cares very much what other people think, which I think is not uncommon for, particularly for women, but, you know, you want to please people, and that can be very dangerous. And that leads us into the discussion of critiquing. My point is this: the way we currently do critiquing, the writer's workshop methodology, the way it's standard, I think it's not that great. And it is flawed and has a lot of potential for not helpful critiques and can be harmful to writers. That's my thesis statement. What do you think? Am I full baloney?
I have a different opinion. I think it could be flawed if not set up the right way and utilized mm-hmm. with the right group of people. So I'm eager to hear your thoughts and sort of your experiences too, because I'm sure that has shaped part of this.
Very possibly. So just to set it up, the standard way, in case you're not familiar, is for a writer's workshop is you have a group of writers. Generally, you're all about the same level of skill and experience, often. And you will have distributed a bit of writing amongst yourselves. So, like, if I were coming to a group, I would have hopefully sent you guys copies of the 10 to 15 pages or whatever that I want you to read. You would read them and come with your feedback. And then the facilitator says, okay, now we're going to critique Mary's thing. And they go around the table one at a time. Each person says their thing. Here's what I thought of this. Here is my stuff. And I, as the writer being critiqued, do not speak because we don't want to get any arguments. And then at the end, I might ask some clarifying questions. But there's just a lot of work going in to say, now remember, we're trying to help you. Don't get upset. This is just feedback. And then you take these notes away. Sometimes they, you know, you write on the pages and hand them back to them. You take them away and then you use them to make your work better. And I think that's not so good. Here's the thing. In no other art form, I almost said fart form. Boy, that I don't know what that means. In no other art form do you get the majority of your instruction from your fellow students, from the people at the same level as you? You get some. You will have reactions. But you don't get most of your instruction. And what I find in writing, the workshop is seen as instruction. Like, that's how you get better. You have a million people read it, have them tell you what they think of your work, and somehow you turn that reaction into instruction and become better as a writer. And the only way that that could happen is if you adjust based on what they say until to the point where they don't say anything, right? Then you got it right. But of course, that's not how it works. And so, okay, now I'm starting to go. Here I go. Ready? Let's get that soapbox out. When you have people at the same, who are still learning, they're all learning together. First of all, if you've got a bad thing, it's just going to reverberate, right? There's nothing to say like, well, I'm not sure that's really true. And the other thing that happens a lot, the thing that, one of the things that really gets me is that you tend to fixate on certain absolutes. So you learn something like no head hopping. And then the moment you see head hopping, you're like, aha, I got it. I've got this. Yes, I can. Not only, if I am at my least noble, it's a place where I get a score on you. Like, yes, I found a thing. I'm better than you. I knew this and you didn't. That's the lowest, the least noble side of us. The most noble is, here's this mistake you're making. I found it for you. We all know that head hopping is wrong. And I found your head hopping for you. But then that reinforces it. And so head hopping becomes that which can never be done or else you die. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the artistic creative process is to take these conventions, these things, and bend them, use them well. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to understand why you're head hopping, do it carefully, go through it, but you can't just take it as gospel. There is no gospel. And so I feel that this format should not be used as your primary source of instruction in writing. It is not there. Your only way you can think to get better as a writer.
Okay.
That felt good to get off my chest. There's a lot of shower and driving and walking the dog thought in that. Whew. Oh, I feel good. Yes.
All right. But see, I get to rebut this, right?
Rebut.
I do agree. It should not be your primary mode of instruction. I think a lot of people come to the writing workshop with this idea that, one, they have to take every piece of feedback they get and incorporate it into mm-hmm. their story. And the danger there is if you have 6 people or 10 people and they're all disagreeing, then you're like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do next. So, like, I think that can be a big problem. The other thing that I have found, and I think is a big flaw in the system, is being at the same level. Like, I try very hard not to join a writer's group if we are all at the same level. I think it only works if you have a mixture of people where you get to then coach and help other people develop, because that makes you a better writer. And you're also learning from a mentor or somebody else who is at the next mm-hmm. level where you aspire to be, because mm-hmm. they're going to have a different type of feedback and experience. I feel very strongly that you need to get the feedback, even if it's harsh, even if it's mean, even if you don't agree with it, mm-hmm. because if I don't know that somebody's going to have this criticism of my work, I'm not prepared. Like, this is a business of rejection. No matter what you say, it's creative. Yeah. You're like putting your work out there at every single phase, somebody is going to criticize it. And so you have to develop this thick skin. I'm one of those people that's like, yep, it sucks a lot. But if I would rather the people in my writer's group tell me that so that I'm at least prepared for mm-hmm. it if I decide not to change my work, than to have it go out to agents and have them tell me that, or have it go out as a movie and then get all of this. And you're going to get criticism. Like, you just have to know that and embrace that.
But here's the thing, is it's not like I have this flaw in my story that my writers group is going to find, and if they don't, and that so that no one else will find that same flaw. You know, it's not a, and I'm trying to think of something more concrete that, you know, you're not checking code that's programmed, like, oh, here's an error, I caught it for you. It's not, that's not, this is an art form. Now, I agree, you do need feedback. You need something to bounce off, right? You need to say, how did you react to this? Which maybe this is starting to get into how to make this better, you know, how to fix this broken system. Besides breaking off the wheel, we've learned that that's probably not so good. Bringing my dragon to a writer's workshop, probably not a good thing. And you had another really important point of your writer's group, people you know. Finding the right people in the group is critical, yes. But sometimes you get what you get.
Then you drop out.
Yeah, you gotta run away. And but it's so hard. How do you know it's bad? Because you listen to this advice and you're sitting there, you aren't equipped, particularly as a starting writer. You are not equipped to discern whether this advice you've been given, whether this feedback you've been given is opinion, if it's good, if it's helpful, if it's bullshit, you don't know. And then it just keeps coming in and you have to sort it out. And I just don't, that seems like a waste of time. Now, I understand there's, you know, it's a subjective thing. But I mean, if I were a dancer, I don't dance and have other dancers tell me if it's any good. Just like, oh, or acting, right? When you're performing, we would give each other feedback, but the feedback was always reflection. Here's how this is coming across. Here's what I'm seeing. Oh, I was trying for this. Does that, am I getting that? No. Oh yeah, no, I felt this, you know, where it's a mirror. And that can be helpful. It's not instruction. It's not, and so often in so many writers' workshops that I have been in, it turns into instruction. It turns into editing. It turns into, let me tell you how I would do it.
Yeah.
Or here's the right way, which is actually, let me tell you how I would do it. And that is not what we're here for. And that's not right. And I think, especially for a beginning writer, it can be really damaging and frustrating and difficult. And I don't like it.
I like it.
Okay.
Because I do think even for a new writer, it's like, to me, I was not overwhelmed with the feedback, even if I didn't agree with it. And part of me learning as a writer was like going down the wrong path. Like part of me, my ability to discern now whether I'm getting good feedback or not from a writer's group is based on that experience of being at the bottom, not knowing anything, and sometimes taking the wrong advice. Like, and only going through that process can I now say, oh, like, I know this one person, you're always going to give me shitty advice because you are not my target audience. You don't like the type of stuff that I write. I know who I am as a writer. So I know when to ignore your feedback or your instruction or your, like, I'm superior, the perfect writer, and I'm going to lecture you on how you should be writing this story. And there's always like one or two of those types of people, but I find they're just toxic.
So what you're saying is that the things that I'm complaining about, the things that I'm saying are make the writer's workshop ineffective, that slogging through this crappy advice that you don't know if it's any good or not. To you, that's part of the learning process, is learning how to slog through that stuff.
I think so, because it's also preparing you, like I said, for the end game. It's preparing you for the kinds of criticism and feedback and crappy reviews that you're going to get when your work is public. And you need to be able to be confident in yourself as a writer and as an artist and as a creative to know, like, I told the story I wanted to tell, and I know which rules I broke, and I'm okay. If they don't like the fact that I broke this rule, that's okay. And I think that foundation starts in the writing workshop. But I also think that you should go to other classes. Like, that shouldn't be your primary way of learning how to write, because you do need people who have more experience than you giving you feedback.
Giving you instruction.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting, I think this is a good point now to get to this advice. So let's say you are in a situation where you have a writer's workshop or you're going to be in one. Basically, let's talk about how to make the best of it, both as a critiquer and a critiquee. I would say, as for a critiquer, one thing that I've had to learn to do is to not do that. Let me find all the mistakes you've made. I find that I am much harder on something I'm reading to critique than I would be on something I'm reading that's published, and not because of the always because of the quality of the work. It's just because I'm in a mindset of let me find them all. So what I prefer to do is to focus primarily and perhaps even only on a positive critique, because a lot of writers don't know what their strengths are. I know for me, it's hugely helpful to say, here's what's strong about this, because I tend to be the kind of person who's like, oh, it all sucks. But if to say, no, this is effective, this works, go here, this is what I responded to, you know, this is what your strengths are, I think that can be a really good place to start, and a good mindset to come with, like, of let's find what's good. And I think that's a really good thing for as a critiquer to learn to find.
I would agree. I like that.
What sort of things do you do to be a good critiquer?
I like to give a lot of different suggestions. And I also, I think it's more about how I deliver the feedback. So I will very clearly mm-hmm. say, this is my opinion, or this is what I've seen done. Or I will say, I'm flagging this issue because this is the kind of feedback that other people will give you. And just so that you know that it's like you're breaking a rule. Mm-hmm. And understand the implications of that. But I think that's also because I'm used to like teaching and doing coaching and all this other stuff. So my mm-hmm. perspective at critiques is always like making sure people understand sort of the comment behind the feedback or the context behind the feedback mm-hmm. that I'm giving. And I like to also give suggestions or ideas and say like, oh, I think this would be stronger if da 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 da. Have you thought about like shifting it, not to the point where I want to rewrite someone's story, but I just like to be able to give them some different seeds of like, oh, here's where I thought it was going, and or here's mm-hmm. where I saw this was a little too predictable and you might want to change it up. And that's, I think, stuff that's really tangible, as opposed to like, you had all of these commas in the wrong places and you mm-hmm. used a prologue.
Yeah. As a critiquer, it's hard to ignore some things, but you do have to. You have to skip things over. And what I like about what you said is that you give them concrete reactions. This is what I expected. This is what I was feeling as I read this, as if you were a reader. And I think that's a really important place to go to. You kind of have to turn off your writer brain a little bit and dial up the reader brain so that you are a mirror and can explain what's going on. Oh, right here, I was getting a little bored. And then maybe, you know, then dial back to the writer and say, here's why. And then go back to the reader and say, oh, I was just so excited about this. And then go back to the writer and say, here's why. Because you used this well, you used this well. And then, you know, back and forth. But you have to keep flipping back and forth between those two perspectives and make sure that the reader part, I think, is the more useful for the writer.
Yeah.
Now, as the critiquee, did you have something else to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to add that I think it's important for folks to realize that a lot of times the feedback you get, it's like the note behind the note, right? So like the feedback is like the symptom, but it's not the root cause. And so instead of just attacking this like, oh, they said this and now I have to change this, you have to really, as the author, pause and say, like, what is it really that they're trying to get to? Or why is this, does this issue continue to come up? And if I need to tell the story in a certain way, how do I make sure that I'm addressing the real issue in the story and not just fixing symptoms?
I love that, because I think that's exactly what you are. You are a diagnostic tool. You are the blood test. You are the strep culture. You are coming back with, here are the symptoms. And then it is up to the writer to determine how to treat the condition.
Yes.
Which is probably taking the metaphor too far. As the critiquee, first thing is you have full right to throw out everything they say and say, screw you, I know what I'm talking about. You can do that. Totally allowed. No one's making you. I mean, it's scary, but sometimes that's what you need to do. If you get the same note over and over and over again, well, maybe that's something you need to work on. The other thing that I found really helpful is to say, here's what I want to know about, and here's what you should not worry about. I kind of write in layers, right? So I my first drafts are really vague and weird. That's just all kind of notes and sketchy stuff. So I'm like, please don't worry about the language. Don't worry about the word choice or the grammar or the spelling. That's not what I'm talking about here. I just want to make sure that the events make sense and that the motivation is clear behind people's decisions. Tell me that. And where it isn't, let me know that. And by if I ask very specifically for what I want, it's like everything else. You have to ask for what you want to get it. And so as a writer, you need to know what you're after and not just, is it awesome? Because there's that's not a thing. And so I think that'll help, too, as to go into this to say specifically, here's what I would like to know. And also have the expectation that they're probably not just going to look at it and go, wow, that's the best thing I've ever heard. And if they do, it's useless to you. So, I mean, it's good for the ego, but not what you're after.
Yeah. That's really frustrating. I can't stand it when people don't have critical feedback because I'm like, I know it's not perfect. I like that you want to make me happy, but I need to know how to fix this and make it better.
I'm pretty sure it's awesome. Usually I'm like, yeah, no, that's right. No, it's not true.
Great.
It's a big lie.
Bestseller.
I actually, one of the best critiques I ever got was someone who said this, she made the comparison that it's like a cake. And she said, with a really good frosting, but the cake wasn't very good. She's like, okay, so you're going to scrape off all the frosting and save it. This frosting's amazing. Don't lose it. Save the frosting. We're going to fix the cake, and then we're going to put the frosting back on. And I was like, oh, okay. And that really helped me because it encouraged me. I knew that it wasn't all shit. And then we went into – and she explained what was wrong. Not how to fix it, but what was wrong. So that's my piece on – writers' workshops and critiques. I guess the main thing is just be good to each other. You're here to help each other. It's not a competition. You can't beat them. You don't get any points for finding more mistakes than anyone else. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
One of the best pieces of advice that I've gotten about receiving feedback and the process is I think it was Meg LaFauve from
Pixar.
Yes. I think it was during her
training. Yeah, we talked about her training, before.
And she was quoting someone else at Pixar, and I don't know the name, but they talked about receiving feedback, and they had this theory that every writer goes through three stages. And so the first one upon receiving feedback was F you, which is like, I don't care. Like, you're yeah. wrong. I don't want to hear it. Like, how dare you criticize me? The second phase is F me, because then you realize that there may be some truth and you have to figure out how to make all these changes to fix or, you know, create, yeah. take your writing to the next level. And then there's the...
And maybe a little self-loathing.
Yes, a little self-loathing. Yeah. The, oh, woe is yeah. me. I'm a horrible writer. I can never do this.
Oh, yeah.
All of that stuff, the pity party. And then there's the what next phase. And he's like, every single person... Mm-hmm. goes through those. Some go faster during different stages, and some like will jump straight to the like F me, like, oh God, now I have to do all of this stuff. But mm-hmm. what he said was like their goal is to get to the what's next faster. And I've really taken that mm-hmm. to heart, because I'm like, oh yeah, it's okay to not like somebody's feedback. And it's okay to be like, oh God, now I have to rewrite half of this novel, or I have to toss the script and start from the mm-hmm. beginning. That's okay. It's part of the process, and everybody gets those emotions with those different stages, but you have to get to the mm-hmm. what's next. And the best way to move forward is to keep writing, is to like get back into the work
yes.
and start writing again.
That's wonderful. So I think on that note, I think we should wrap up. I think the two most important words are keep writing. So last thing, I just want to make sure you also please make sure you check us out on the socials. We are on many socials. Writing Easy Podcast, usually. WritingEasyPodcast@gmail.com. Writing Easy Pod on Twitter. Writing Easy Podcast on Facebook. Are we Writing Easy Pod on Instagram or podcast on
it's
Instagram?
Podcast,
I don't remember.
I think.
It's podcast yep. on Instagram. I think that's it. We're not on like WhatsApp or Snapchat yet because we're very, very
good,
old.
We're not that cool.
No, we're not. I'm very old. But please check us out. We do other things there that we don't just cover in the podcast. We kind of go a little deeper, have a little more fun. Oh, I have a Pinterest board too. That's the other thing I put
yeah.
on. Yeah, I made a Pinterest board because, of course. So yeah, make sure you check all those out. And then if you can, please, 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 in iTunes, if you can review and rate, that makes a big difference for us. So just click those stars, write like 5 words. Hey, they're great. And that's only 3 words. So you can add the other 2, whatever you like. That really helps us a lot. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Anything else to add?
That is it. Like us, review us.
give us validation in our lives. All right, so let's wrap this up. Writing is hard.
So take it easy.
Thanks. I've been Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.